Okay, so we have Brian Gray up next with his medley, I suppose, or two songs in one, Purple Dot / Something Like Home.
Fit the thing to the other thing, maybe that'll compensate for that odd base 12 quirk. Out of time, what was once a dot everywhere, and how the hell does any of this crap work? Oil cup down on the gudgeon pin, buckle up now, cause we're coming in. What's that sound? And are we spinning? Just aim, they said, for the purple dot. Nudge flame instead of a purple dot. 5 years to fly to the purple dot. Only to die.
Down, screams of panic yielding to the hushed sound of everybody wondering if the plasma drive exploded or misfired. Are we still alive? Or is this just what happens when you're not? Touchdown.
I said at the beginning of this podcast, each song reveals its own universe to you, and as a judge, you want to keep some kind of objective standard, but also, you know, provide comments that work within the universe of that song, which necessarily means they're different. And this is obviously like the peak example of that. This is like a sequence from a one-act musical, or maybe it is the entirety of a one-song musical of deep space colonization. And wow, everything from the meticulousness of the production, the like perfectly evoking that kind of chorus on stage feel to the way the chorus melody from the first portion of the song then reprises at the very end, but having traversed a long emotional journey in between. I mean, this is hitting on quite a lot of notes that would make it really work in that setting. And because Brian is clearly like super capable and has given himself, you know, like in gymnastics, the level of difficulty that's so high that if you still kind of stumble in your landing, you still crush everybody else. And I don't think this is going to be my number one song on the list necessarily, but like he's clearly like in a kind of a category of his own here. So just my hat's off to him for quite a lot of this. But within the world that this song is creating, I thought the first portion was over a little quick, and unless you've spent some time, and this is what musicals are sometimes like, but unless you've spent a lot of time with it and already know what's coming, it's like, I could not understand this bass 12 quirk. And sorry.
So we haven't heard a specific word yet. And so, do you know what this is about?
I don't think he does, Ryan. I don't.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, maybe I don't know what it's about.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, there's no reason purple? That a casual listener would.
Oh, he's dang. Not a did Brian just get me? Like, there's some computer-based 12 thing.
No. Does this name mean anything to you? I can't even get it out. Does the name Gleeble Glorp mean anything to you?
No. Well, there you go. That explains it.
Okay, that explains it. Sorry.
Oh, dang. This is a TV reference.
No, it's a Brian Gray thing.
Exactly. Oh. It's a Brian Gray Spin Tunes thing, to be absolutely specific.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, I'm sorry. I'm such a noob.
Well, the glory of Gleeboglorb. Oh, my God.
Dang. It's this whole epic thing that he's been doing in song form for, I think, maybe two Spin Tunes running now. I think we even refer to it as the Gleeble verse. Is this song in the Gleeble verse? And so he's like, he's building this whole epic thing. And this is just, and I think he even mentioned which two of his songs this falls in between. But I think your criticism is valid. Like, you know, a casual listener is not going to know anything about the Gleeble verse or the whole story or the context. And you kind of have to expect the song to stand on its own.
Yeah, and I mean, it should be able to be judged by a Brian, by a boy on the wall. So I'm sorry to have interrupted. It's just like, I'm kind of going like, wait. Let's get a little context here, because.
I'm actually pretty appreciative that I heard it fresh. You know, this is my like first step onto the insanely purple Gleeble verse or whatever.
Yeah.
That was one of the melodies that, like, the morning after I heard all the songs, like, purple, everything is so insanely purple. Like, that was in my head. There's great lyrics here. I wanted to pull out. Where's the one with Manifested Destiny? And
yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's just like 30 billion tattoos of a songbird sing of hope for bringing out the best in you, achieving what you're manifestly destined to instead of merely coming out alive. Woo, great job.
Touchdown.
The one about something, yeah, completely. The one about something taking root, takes fancy to a root in a light. I didn't get that one. That one could use another go. But wow, I mean, like a song like this, I have a lot of thoughts. I don't want to take up too much time. Go ahead, guys.
I had another great like section that I wrote down. Touchdown, screams of panic yielding to the hush sound of everybody wondering if the plasma drive exploded or misfired. Are we still alive? Or is this just what happens when you're not? Thought that was awesome. Yeah. I'm jealous. Brian Gray is some sort of maniacal genius. I love everything about just how epic this song is. I mean, there are horns and timpani, and then there's these Queen-esque like harmonies, like from what is that Queen song I'm thinking of? Anyway, we're all going to die. It's like when all these, you know, super lush harmonies come in the first part, and it just, you know, it definitely sets that stage. You're in a musical or in something cinematic, and there's just that, it's just so triumphant sounding in parts, and it's the timpani and the horns that really sell that feeling and all of the storytelling. It's just so powerful and incredibly dramatic. And I didn't want to like it, like, because I'm a little bit annoyed about the whole Gleeblverse thing, just because of all the context. Like, I don't want to know all of the details of the Gleeblverse to get into the song, and I didn't want to like it, but I do. I do like it. I didn't want to.
Yeah. Well, to bring back the curtain just a little bit on this whole judging thing, you know, Chumpy and I texted back and forth a lot about this song starting very early. And at first tilt, you know, I couldn't tell whether I thought it was delightful or tedious. But pretty soon, you know, perhaps as some sort of Stockholm syndrome sort of thing, you know, I figured that I admire and respect the brilliance of this song, you know. It's epic and dramatic and wonderful. I'm not terribly fond of the fake brass in the very beginning of the song. The fakeness gets a little annoying and distracting, but the song is a very enjoyable, rousing accomplishment on all levels. You know, the concept, the lyrics, the production, the performance, not to mention how, you know, it's essentially like two complete songs, like Brian mentioned. You know, the intro section is a great song in itself, really. And then, you know, just little bits like the kind of, you know, things that you quoted, but also just something as simple as Home on the Strange is a nice touch, you know. So, it's wonderful. And again, just like the others, he can only disappoint us from now on, like he's done before with Boy and His Kumquat Tree. So, sorry to call that out, but still, you know.